Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's always kind of odd when the clocks don't sync up when I'm on the website to set the podcast on, to set the podcast up. Anyways, this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Heading over to sportstimeradio.com now. Since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Oh, if you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Home, Dan Z Man with three E.
Do you have any idea how long you'll actually still be working from home, or is it just kind of like indefinite at this point?
Actually, June 30th.
Oh, wow.
The...
Okay. Holy cow. Yep. So, but anyways, Dan, I saw some, what I thought were humorous articles today. I don't know if you've been able to peruse the internet at all, but both of them involve your guy Jed Hoyer. There was one I picked up that I actually posted on Sports Time Radio, on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, if you're over there, where he swears that the Cubs are going to try to compete this year, even though they have dumped Yu Darvish in his big contract. So I really like that one. And then there was another one where he completely denies trying to trade Wilson Contreras. What are your takeaways? Do you believe either of those?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, the first action that he's made, moving you, makes you believe that he's not telling the truth, but saying that he denies shopping Contreras, it's one of those that we're hoping is true, because otherwise it's just to pacify, you know. So I hope he's truthful.
Yeah, I don't believe him on either one. Because, you know, you can't replace Yu Darvish with Zach Davies, and unless you're going to make a big free agent signing like Trevor Bauer or something like that, you don't have the rotation pieces to compete. I mean, I like Kyle Hendricks. He's a good major league pitcher, but he's not a great major league pitcher. You know, otherwise, you know, that the rest of the rotation after Hendricks and Davies ends up being Alec Mills. They're going to go with the rookie whose name I can't pronounce. I'm just going to start calling him Double A. It's Alodo or something like that is the last name. And then, oddly, I thought maybe Dwayne Underwood Jr. would get a crack at that fifth spot. But I saw yesterday, it looks like the Cubs right now would use Colin Ray. So that's a rotation that would really bowl you over. I would be really excited if they went into the season with that. And obviously they've got a couple months to figure it out, and that'll kind of show their hand and see where things kind of go. Interestingly, the rumor mill heated up again with Chris Bryant going to Washington. The Nationals have came out and said that they want to add another big bat to their lineup. They have a hole at third base because it didn't work out with Carter Kieboom last year. So that rumor pops back up, are we going to see Bryant finally dealt before spring training, or are we going to have to deal with this into the season where they can legitimately get almost nothing for him because he'll be months away from becoming a free agent?
Well, and that's the thing. He has to be traded before the season starts, before spring training opens. You know, it has to be done ASAP.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, Washington would be a nice landing spot. They have spent money before, but mostly on pitching. But you wonder if they would attempt, and they do have a good relationship with Scott Boras. You know, Steven Strasburg is one of his clients, and they got an extension done with Strasburg actually before he reached the free agent market, which may be the first time ever that happened with a Boras client. So it's possible if the Nationals were to actually acquire Bryant, they may be able to re-sign him and keep him there. I don't know if that would happen with any other team. I mean, obviously Boras has clients everywhere, but the Nationals have been the only team it's ever happened with. So I don't know how else it would work out, but, you know, we'll see. And I mean, at this point, what do you think they get for him? I mean, are they going to get two or three more 17 and 18 year olds that we'll probably see about 2025 or 26?
I think that's probably about right. I was trying to quickly look it up to see who they had in the pipeline.
Yeah, well, you know, my guess would Carter Kieboom would be one of the guys who would come back in that kind of deal. And he was a big-time rated prospect, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out in Washington. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've seen that happen. You know, they've had struggles with their guys. They've had really highly, and they've went other places and had success. Obviously, the big one right now is Lucas Giolito, who just flamed out in Washington, and the White Sox got a hold of him. And, you know, he's really their ace. I know they have Dallas Keuchel and Lance Lynn, but, you know, if I'm going to pick a pitcher on that staff, it's going to be Giolito. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
So, but all right, well, we did have, you know, a little bit of other baseball news here. Apparently, you know, I mentioned
Big Jack. I'm sitting on, you know, MLB's pipeline, and I'm trying to find, you know, I'm on the MLB top 100 based off of last year's cumulative stats, and it says zero next to Washington.
Zero as in prospects?
I guess in the top 100. I find that hard to believe, but their website kind of sucks, to be honest with you. So I wish there was a better source.
Yeah, well, I guess that, you know, out of all the minor league players, I guess it is possible that they wouldn't have any. Especially considering generally the top of that is dominated by, you know, players who are still in Class A and, you know, areas like that where, you know, you wouldn't see these guys for years as it was. So they almost have a way to cover up any mistake they made down the road. You know, they pop up there one time and then that would be it. So I could kind of see that.
Looking at their top 10, the first eight are all pitchers. I'm not sure if you've heard of Seth Romero. So he's a left-hander. He's 24 years old. He's estimated to be up this coming season. You know, lefty, both sides. Pitching and batting, and, you know, you're looking at a 24-year-old at 6'3 and 240. They're number one. They're number one ranked in their system. Jackson Rutledge. He's a righty, 6'8", 250. I mean, shoot, if I was going for wrestling, this would be the guy I want in my organization. But you've got to imagine he's just got to look like a monster when you're standing at the plate. But he's only been in full A, so you know they estimate him up to be in 2022. But you know we're talking about a 21-year-old, so I think he'd still have time to work on it. Yeah, number two, they're number two and three, four and five are all righties, but they're down in rookie ball. But they have another lefty, 6 foot, 185, Tim Kate. I don't know, he's another lefty. He's advanced A. So he's their number six. I mean, I don't know if you're going to trade Chris Bryan over there. I mean, you know, of course, obviously you and I, we've never seen these guys, but just looking at those stats, I mean, there might be some promise, you know. But it's hard to say, you know, and they really need pitching. And the big question is, though, if you take these guys, do they have what it takes to develop them, though? Because obviously in the last 10 years, the Cubs haven't shown that. No, I was saying that the last 10 years, they really haven't proven.
Yeah, on your list, like I'm looking at a guy, and the number one prospect they have for Washington is an infielder by the name of Luis Garcia. And they actually have him ranked 81st overall. Do you have him on that list? Is he in that top 10?
No, I'm looking directly at MLB. So I don't know what you're looking at. You're probably looking at something better.
I'm on Ross. I'm on a Fangraphs actually. So.
They don't even have him listed in there.
So, you know, like they do have all the other people you named, you know, like that Jackson Rutledge is number two. So, you know, they have all the guys you're talking about. Some are in a little different order than others. But, yeah, I just wonder, you know, if Bryant's going to be a one-year rental, if what you would be willing to give up for him. You know, remember, they didn't get a top 10 prospect for Darvish. All the guys they got from the Padres were ranked outside San Diego's top 10. So could they get a top 10 guy for Bryan?
I think they could possibly get one. You know, and this is kind of more or less going off of what they've done previously. I don't know if they'd still be in that. But I think they could definitely get a number one, you know, in the top 10, at least one, if they feel like they've got any leverage to, like you said, re-sign him in the off season. So, but, you know, one of their pitchers with the amount that they have, it might not be so bad losing one. You know, because you obviously never know how these kids are going to turn out. Everyone I was talking about was 24 and under, so they've got plenty of time. You know, the downside, like I said, is do the Cubs have the ability to develop them? You know, would we see what happened on the south side of Chicago happen on the north side? I don't know. They really haven't proven that. You know, Dwight Underwood drafted in, what did we say, like 12 or 13? You know, didn't really get a full, you know, a bigger shot until last season, which, you know, wasn't really even a season. So what will we see this year? You know, and of course, we got to watch a little bit of Dylan Cease because he came up, but I think it's a different scenario too. So, but, you know, it would be interesting. And I think if Washington felt they had the leverage to really re-sign him in the offseason or even get, I don't know, would you call that an extension technically?
If they were to sign it before. Yeah, I guess you could call it an extension.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they were willing to take that. But, you know, the other side of it is, while the Cubs would be taking the risk of taking on some, you know, some prospects and not knowing if they're going to develop or not, you know, that's also a risk that Washington or any other team would have to take in wondering, will Chris Bryant get back to that MVP form? You know, and as much as myself and every other Cub fan would not like to hear this, could Chris Bryant use the old change of scenery? I guess I should be wrong saying that, because you know, you've read it, you've seen it, the amount of Cub fans who are ready to just pack them up and, you know, drive them out of town personally.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. So.
And but, yeah, to be fair, I think the change of scenery would help him out a lot. So,
no, it definitely would. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, the way I look at it is, one way or another, this is his last year with the Cubs. You know, after dumping Darvish and his salary, there's no way they're going to pay Bryant. So the team is going to look so odd next year, because Bryant will be gone. There's a good chance Rizzo could be gone. You know, they'll probably deal Contreras, even though good old Jed denied it. It's going to be definitely a different looking team as it moves forward, and you wonder how long it will take with basically everybody and their brother rebuilding at this point, how long it'll take the Cubs to get back in contention, if they ever get back in contention. So, you know, and that's tough for fans to think about there. I mean, you know, because you start to look around and, you know, there are teams that have tore it down that didn't get back. You know, I mean, the Mariners still look a long way away. The Tigers still look like they're a long way away. You know, the Royals and the Pirates are constantly in flux, even though, you know, they're small market teams and that's going to happen to them. But, just because it worked for Theo doesn't mean it's going to work for Jed. So it's, you know, there's nothing promise that says they're going to get a good rebuild and it's going to work out. So,
yeah, I mean, and we pretty much discussed how it worked for Theo,
yeah,
and why it's not working now. You know, and here's an interesting thing, and I wanted to get your kind of take on it too, because, you know, we've obviously just brought up the philosophy that was done during Theo's time. And I had a fellow Cub fan that I was going back and forth with on Facebook earlier today that, you know, immediately went to it being the Ricketts and mismanaging money, or, you know, and then of course, oh, and they're big Trump supporters. Well, it's, you know, I was like, let's leave the politics out of it, because I don't think that has nothing to do with anything to begin with. They're Republican, and of course they're going to support, because you got to toe the party line. If they were Democrats,
yeah,
they would support whatever. Democrat is up for ticket. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, let's just leave that out of here, because that really has nothing to do with anything. And I brought up the CBA and how that worked, and I really got no response. You know, and it's, you know, I didn't get all legal, so I was speaking regular English. But, you know, I wanted to kind of get your take into that. As, you know, we've seen over the years several teams where the ownership is kind of the problem, which oddly seems to be a common theme here in Chicago. I don't know if that's a common theme across all major cities with, you know, the luxury of having the sports franchise. You know, we've discussed that about New York and, you know, with the Knicks and their owner. You know, it's interesting because they're not going anywhere and not doing anything. You know, I don't even know if Spike Lee goes to the games anymore. But, you know, with that being said, do you, you know, aside from the Ricketts always being, no, you know, from Theo, Ricketts won't give me money to spend, you know, without the Danny Warbucks thing kind of going on, do you think they played a major part in how this team was developed, put together? I know they kind of gave Theo free rein, but do you think their monetary issues and what they decided to do around them, getting Wrigley Field, this was the best one. And I'm like, you got to turn everything into politics, don't you? Well, they did. They turned, you know, Wrigley Field into a national landmark, so they didn't have to pay taxes on it. Well, it's 100 years old. Like, shouldn't that have been done a while ago? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get it, but at the same token, it's kind of a landmark not only for baseball, but for the country. You know, there's only two baseball stadiums that are this old. So I kind of wanted to get your take on it. And, you know, do you feel like they had a negative impact on the situation, or, you know, the moves that Theo made, or was it just kind of I put it all on Theo, but that's just me.
No, you know, like I think, you know, when he came in, you know, you're right. They let him do what he does. You know, they let him make the moves he had to make to, you know, get the team rebuilt and make it a contender. But once they won the World Series, I believe they got really cheap, because they didn't go after the pieces they needed. Remember, they tried to fill in with Brett Anderson in the rotation, you know, and then we saw the Tyler Chatwood move. Instead of going out and getting legitimate starting pitching, you know, that you knew they needed, you know, the big signing was Jason Hayward, but, you know, if you could have landed a starting pitcher, that may have been better for your team. So I do believe that they've had a lot of involvement, and it appears as they've really pulled the purse strings, so to speak, and they're just not going to allow, be it Jed or whoever, you know, for Theo for those years. I don't think they're going to allow anybody to spend money. And you just, you know, the thing that baffles me is why? You know, you and I have been over this a million times. I mean, this is a big market team, you know, in a major metropolitan city. There's no reason that Chris Archer shouldn't be talking, or not Chris Archer, sorry, I was reading his name. Trevor Bauer shouldn't be talking about coming to the Cubs, but you've yet to hear him mention the Cubs. Now, he did say he wouldn't go to the White Sox, but he hasn't said anything about the Cubs.
He did put that tweet out there, but again, we didn't know if that was a troll or not, you know, trolling or
right.
not.
You know, and even, you know, you hear the other pitchers. I mean, you know, Masahiro Tanaka has had a nice career with the Yankees. It looks like they want him back. Have the Cubs mentioned a free agent pitcher that they might be interested in? Remember, their number one target is still Tommy La Stella. So what's that tell you? You know, after we talked about the rotation, I mean, you look, there's, you know, your guy, Jake Odorizzi, James Paxton is out there. You know, I mentioned Tanaka, the other Japanese pitcher, Tomoyuki Sugo, or Sugano, who looks like he could be a real benefit to a team. You know, there's a lot of people talking about Tawan Walker because he's just 28. You know, so a lot of people like him. He's got good stuff. Nobody's just been able to kind of fix him. But instead, we're going to go to war with Alec Mills, Colin Ray, and a rookie in the bottom three of our rotation. Sounds like a winner to me.
Well, and, you know, and here's why I wasn't fully buying into the, you know, Ricketts pulling the purse strings was, and, you know, this kind of goes back to the philosophy of Theo, and Theo's all about draft picks and prospects, you know, and that's kind of where they were. And once his old system was legislated out of the CBA and the new CBA came into play, not only could he no longer give a guy like Dexter Fowler a qualifying offer that he knew was going to turn down, so that then he can go sign somewhere else, but you know, at St. Louis, and then, you know, get that first round draft pick that the, you know, the Cards were supposed to get. Well, that was taken out. So now if you get the qualifying offer, you get it after the smaller market picks in the first round. And then you may not get that first round if you're over the luxury tax threshold. So then that drops down, and, you know, over 3 years, which he didn't get to that point, you would, I don't think you forfeit, but you pretty much have a really low draft pick. So, you know, I wasn't sure if that's kind of where it was coming from, was, you know, Mr. Draft Pick not going to want to spend any more money because he doesn't want to be put over the threshold and, you know, not be able to, you know, make those moves, which I think when you think about it, the other part of his plan that I don't think was accounted for is, at this point, wasn't Dexter Fowler the last one who was offered qualifying, and now there's no one even on the table to offer that to? You know,
right.
Coming off arbitration, you don't get that. You know, I mean, they TSA Kyle Schwarber. You know, I mean, the only guy, can you imagine? I mean, we all know, if you give Anthony, try to give Anthony Rizzo the qualifying offer next year, he's not going to take it. You know, but
well, he's a free agent. You can't give it to him. It would be Chris. It would be like Chris Bryan, Javi Baez, and who I forgot who else. There's one more I'm missing. So
yeah. So I mean, it's just the whole plan blew up, and that's kind of where I was coming from. So I could never tell if it was the Ricketts being cheap, you know, because they're developing all that land around there. But yeah, the same token, the stuff they purchased over there just makes them money hand over fist. So, you know, well,
you know,
who knows? But last year,
you know, I'm sure it's a combination of both. You know, when you look at it, because I mean, who was the Cubs' last really good free agent signing? You know, I mean, like, even when they have holes and all, they don't bring people in.
No.
You know, they don't bring anybody in who's, like, a major name. I guess you could say Craig Kimbrel was a major signing, but obviously we see where that got him. It blew up in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've just got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of wonder about, well, okay, you know, what are we – you know, what are we actually doing here? You know, what's going on and what's going to go on? So I just don't know. I mean, you know, luckily they're in a division that doesn't have a dominant team. So if they did make a couple of decent moves, they could jump right back into contention. Now, they're not going to win a World Series for many years with this team unless they somehow got really lucky. But, you know, they can still compete in the Central. You know, it's not a huge, you know, it's not a runaway division by any means. I don't honestly believe they're going to make those moves. I think they're going to trade Wilson Contreras. They'll make a couple minor under-the-radar signings to fill out the bullpen, and they'll go at it with what they have and probably be 500 or maybe even below.
Now, I mean, kind of tracking back, do you think we're at the point where the Ricketts might almost be nothing, you know, not doing anything more than Sam Zell and the Tribune did, you know, enough to pacify the fans? And, you know, at this point, with the Cubs, yeah, the Cubs won the World Series. You know, the fans are happy, blah, blah, blah. So let's just string them along like we used, the old days.
I think that's exactly what they're doing right now. Look, we won a World Series in 2016. You know, oh, hey, we won a World Series. Look, the Cubs won a World Series the first time in, you know, 280 years or whatever it was. What was it, 108 or something like that? So, yeah, we're going to get that, you know, probably it wouldn't surprise me if we start to hear that this year. Oh, yeah, but, you know, especially from the Ricketts. You'll never hear it out of Jed or anybody like that. But I wouldn't be surprised to hear a Ricketts say, oh, but we won a World Series. You know, we gave the fans exactly what they wanted, a World Series winner.
Yeah, and Jed's already more or less did that, though. You know, he considers a championship-contending team any team that makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, but we're, you know, and I think, and I was surprised, and, you know, maybe that's just press conference rules and, you know, nobody wants to upset Jed while he's, you know, doing, I don't know if it's rehearsed or not, but, you know, keep going through that. And it just, I just couldn't sit there, I couldn't stop laughing. Cause I'm like, you're, okay, your logic makes sense. Okay, I get it. You know, yeah, you went to the playoffs, you went to the wild card, so technically you're a championship contending team because you made it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is you're really not. You know, when you make it to the LCS, you lose. Okay, you're on your way up, you know. You make it to the LCS the next year, you win, then you go to the World Series and you win. And then the next year, did they even make it to the LCS? In 17?
No.
Jeez. You know, you don't make it to the LCS. Then you don't make it to the did they even make it past the wild card in 2018? No. Isn't that where they lost to the Brewers? And then the next year they, you know, lost the division. Then you know. So That's not championship contending. So they've got all their stuff together, right?
Yeah, you know, it's humorous when you think about the Cubs' offseason so far that the Kansas City Royals have actually signed more free agents than the Cubs. So, you know, that's just kind of frightening. So, but all right, well, let's jump off the Cubs and on some other baseball news here. Dan, I mentioned yesterday looking forward to a big signing happening, and it looks like I don't know if we're getting close to a George Springer signing, but at least it's narrowing down. It looks like he's down to just two teams right now, and it's the Mets and the Blue Jays. Now, he's got some pretty big contract demands, and I'm interested to get your take on this. He's looking for either 6 years at $25 million or 5 years at $30 million. So now, you know, like I think Springer's he's a very good player. He's been healthy for most of his career. You know, the only real issue I had with him was he basically has to hit leadoff or else he doesn't seem to be able to produce. Are you giving up, you know, 6 years at what, 6 at $25 or five at $30 for George Springer? I don't know if I have him in that kind of category. Do you?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think there's a lot of hype behind George Springer.
So, you know, and I think what really helps him is he may be the best position player on the market, at for this year, and I think that's kind of his saving grace. I get that. Obviously, you know, DJ LeMahieu was a very good player, but you know, I think Springer is a little better. And I'm trying to think if there's any other free agent out there, but off the top of my head, I can't come up with anybody that I would put ahead of Springer. Can you? You know, not position player,
no.
Not.
No, not really.
So, but yeah, you know, looking, you know, look, I keep thinking of those numbers, and I'm just like, man, that's a lot of money for, you know, George Springer. I think, you know, and maybe this is just me, and I get that he's, you know, he's a little older because Springer is all of, you know, 31.
30.
He won't be 32 till the season ends. But I think if, you know, if depending on what these teams are looking for outfield wise, I may reach out to like a Michael Brantley, you know, and I know he's 34, but you could probably get him on a short term, you know, 2-year deal or something like that for half the money or, you know, 2/3 the money that you're going to give Springer. I think maybe I would look that way, but I don't know. I, you know, that would just be me. I mean, is that something you would do, or?
Yeah, I just, you know, the hard thing I think about George Springer is the lack of consistency. You know, his numbers are up 1 year, they're down the next, they're up the year, you know, it's kind of a flip-floppy. I mean, he's already a, well, 3-time All-Star. I'm sure he would have been an All-Star last year, but obviously that was not going to happen. You know, he's a solid player, but again, you know, with what he's asking, you know, I mean, let's put it, you know, talk numbers today. So he had 39 home runs in 19 and 34, 17. Will he get to those numbers again? You know, because in 18 in 140 games, he only hit 22. So, you know, it's hard to say where's he going to be, you know, especially after the allegations from last year, or, you know, the last couple of years. And then, you know, I can't really speak on his defense, but would you almost equate what he's asking because of Jason Hayward?
Yeah, except Springer isn't the same type of defender Hayward is. You know, even to this day, he's not that type of defender. You know, I mean, obviously he's a good defender, and I mean, he didn't make any errors last year. So, you know, he is very good there, but, you know, you don't, when you think about great defensive center fielders or right fielders, because I know he's played some there, and that looks like it's going to be his position. I don't think of him as the guy throwing somebody out at third base. You know, where like a Jason Hayward, you don't want to run on Jason Hayward. You know, I mean, he's one of those guys. And I don't think Springer is that guy. And, you know, and I get that nobody takes batting average into account, but we're talking about giving $25 to $30 million a year to a guy who's a lifetime 270 hitter. You know, that just really kind of jumps out at me. And I mean, you know, he's never led the league in like on base percentage or slugging or OPS or, you know, OPS plus or any of those other stats that the sabermetrics guys look at. You know, the only thing he's ever led the league in is he played 162 games 1 year. He led him in at bats that year. And then he led the league in caught stealings 1 year when he got caught 10 times back in 2016. So, you know, not exactly the guy. I mean, again, I mean, it seems like he's a very good player, you know, and he would be a really big asset to a team, but he's not elite. I mean, he's not a great player by any means, at least I don't think so. And I just wonder, and I know the Mets are going to spend stupid money, so I won't be surprised if they do this deal. But I just don't know if it's the best setup for them right now, you know, in their rebuild or whatever you want to call it.
I think there's going to be some collusion.
And then the other story I saw that I didn't understand, and, you know, sometimes you have to explain these to me. There was a thing that talked about, you know, the Padres' moves from yesterday that you and I went over, you know, with a fine-tooth comb. And the question they asked was, with the Padres making these moves, does it mean that the Colorado Rockies have to speed up their rebuild? And I got to tell you, Dan, I really didn't understand that, and I was hoping you had some perspective on it that could help me out.
Well, doesn't that mean getting rid of everybody?
Right, which is apparently what they're attempting to do, or I thought they were attempting to do. And obviously the big one is moving that Arenado contract, because he's got six years left on. He's got 6 years left on it, counting 2021. So, you know, I don't know if that's something they're capable of doing, but, you know, maybe that's the deal Washington works out, and they go get Nolan Arenado to play third base. Charlie Blackman's got one official year left on his contract, but he's also got two player option years. Trevor Story's in the last year of his deal. So, you know, they have some, I guess, assets if they were interested in moving them. But how does Padres doing this affect the Rockies, I guess, is what I need you to explain to me.
To stay in contention, I guess, would be the only thing I could think of. I mean, either that or either almost thinking it's on a cycle. So, you know, with the Padres in the position they are, if the Rockies turn around and move Arenado and somehow Story and even Charlie, you know, if you can, you know, and take those three guys and, you know, hope that you can get, what would you say, 6 to 8 prospects somewhere in that field, and maybe you got another guy or two. Well, you know, this is, I'm just going out, you know, kind of the rebuild theory, so to speak. So then you get rid of the big major players, you know, maybe even Senzatella if you can. I don't remember where he was. He was on my team. John Gray, I don't know if they'd still have any much value, but you start moving them all, then you've stocked your farm system, and then, you know, maybe they think they'll be more competitive in 2 years against the Padres, or do you kind of go with that semi-5-year plan, and by the time the Padres' steam runs out, according to rebuild rules, you know, the Rockies would be there in line to try to battle what I'm assuming will be the Dodgers still holding that division together.
So, yeah, and then I guess the other thing I was trying to figure out is, how do you speed up your rebuild? I mean, if you can't, you know, obviously, if they could have gotten the deal for Arenado they wanted, they would have traded him already. So, obviously, they haven't found the deal they want. I mean, Charlie Blackman's going to be 35. There's not going to be a big market for Charlie Blackman. So, you know, he may just be playing out the string in Colorado, at least this year and next year, when he's making $21 million. But there's just not a, you know, same thing with Ian Desmond. He's coming up on 36, you know, maybe after the trade deadline or whatever, somebody would look at Desmond as a utility guy off the bench but they wouldn't get much in return. But how do they speed it up, Dan? I mean, what's the process there? I mean, you can't say work harder, because I'm sure they're working hard to try to do something.
Well, no, that's what I mean. You know, you kind of get rid of your big players, to fill up your farm system now, as opposed to trying to fill that up in 2 years. And, you know, you never know if that's even the process the Rockies want to go, which yeah, it is what it is. You know, would they try to entertain some kind of player swap thing like the Mariners and the Mets did? Which the
yeah.
Mets got lucky because they don't have to pay some of that money. but, you know, I mean, because that's always one of the things, but you've also got to find that other team that has a guy that's making too much money that they don't feel like playing, you know, on the old change of scenery thing. So I don't know. That's, you know, you kind of, I kind of gave you what I thought would be how you would speed up the rebuild. And I'm not saying you're shutting me down, but you kind of dispelled that theory, because what real options do they have? You know, how are they going? And I think it's not so much how do you speed up the rebuild, more so as how do you go about doing it when
right.
your options are so limited. You're telling me that, you know, the whole idea behind a rebuild is prospects, you know, obviously, you know, one major league ready player or something like that. But the theory is to build it from the ground up, so you stock your farm system and everybody, you know, sits around a campfire and eats marshmallows and whatever. And then they all come up together and they're friends for life. And you kind of almost got that whole NBA type unity as opposed, you know, but to one team. And, you know, that's supposed to be part of the rebuild. But like you just said, who's taking on Charlie Blackman's money? Who's going after Ian Desmond? Are you really going to find a team that'll take on Nolan Arenado's contract for, you know, one of their minor league teams? I mean, because that's essentially what you're telling them when they need to speed things up, you know. Or do you try to play that Theo game where you make these random moves and you hope they work out, and then all of a sudden you've got a guy to trade away, you know, another guy to trade away, you know, to get more? But that's so very hard. I mean, you know, I think Theo got really lucky with the Jake Arrieta, you know, kind of how that he came to be in the Cubs and that stuff. You know, you wouldn't have never known that was going to happen. And I don't think the Rockies would be able to pull something off like that. So like you said, how do you speed up the rebuild when you really only have one piece that you can move?
Yeah, you know, that it just – It was confusing to me when I was reading it, and it just didn't make a lot of sense. And I mean, you know, we've been talking about an Arenado trade now for about as long as we've been talking about a Chris Bryant trade, haven't we?
That's kind of when they both started, because, you know, somehow they were going to swap and the Cubs were going to take on the massive contract. And, you know, the Rockies were just going to borrow Bryant until he signs with, you know, the Phillies.
So, yeah, it was just so, you know, just so weird listening, you know, reading it and just trying to piece it together, you know, when you start to look at it, and it's just like, wait, they want him to speed it up. Okay, well, how, you know, your prospects have to work harder in the minors? You have to, you know, what do you have to do for things? So it was just really baffling to me when I was trying to make sense of it.
Well, and not only that, Big Jack, you know, like you said, do the minor leaguers work harder? Do you have to draft better?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, we all know, I mean, you know, we know what that for, no matter who it is, whoever pitches in Colorado struggles. You know, they may get hot for a little while, or they, you know, they may, you know, look good here or there, but eventually that ballpark catches up with you. So, yeah, what, you know, what do you do? So, I don't know. But here, Dan, a little more news for us in our upcoming hockey season. The Montreal Canadiens have signed Zdeno Chara, the former Bruin defenseman. He'll be 43, and this will be his, 23rd NHL season. So talk about some longevity here. He's always been one of the hardest shot guys, and, you know, he's a seven-time All-Star, and he won the Mark Messier Trophy, and he won the Norris Trophy as the best defenseman. So it's kind of a interesting add for, you know, the Capitals, who haven't, you know, unfortunately won much the last 2 years. Your guy Ovechkin is scuffled a little bit, but, you know, it'll give us another guy to draft when we get around to it.
Of all the drafts we do, this, I think the hockey is the hardest. I'm almost like, should we get rid of the auction so we have a better chance? But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't, though. I don't want to add another one on. I mean, because I've had at least one or two semi-decent seasons, but, you know, like any other situation, it happens. It's the damn injuries that always get you, you know?
Yeah.
The year I drafted Patrick Kane, I was on the way, Big Jack, and then he got hurt right as our playoffs started. So I went from, you know, kind of being in the playoffs to, I think, just maybe making the last, you know, the eighth seed or whatever, and just getting stomped out. And then the two times with Steven Stamkos, you know. You know, that damn wrist. So I lost out huge two seasons because of, and I'm not going to say because of him, you know, he can't help that his wrist got broken, but I was like, I have no luck with the NHL.
So, yeah, no, you know, a couple, you know, another, you know, solid signing, the Arizona Coyotes. I don't know why I almost called them the Arizona Wildcats. That's the college team. They signed Derek Bernard. He had a really good year with the Islanders last year, picking up 32 points. You know, he's a solid centerman. He's not going to be he's not a 100-point scorer or anything like that. But he's a solid guy who's been around. I think another guy who's been coming up on probably about 20 years in the NHL. So it's interesting how long some of these NHL careers are when you start to think about it.
Do you think that has anything to do with the way the lines are set up? That I know there's three, and sometimes you've got a fourth. But, you know, the way hockey's designed, I mean, these guys are just beasts. You know, the hits they give, they take. That sport is probably, to me, the most dangerous. But, you know, with the way the lines are set up, it's pretty much set up for load management, so to speak. So do you think the way, you know, the way the game is set up in general is the fact that is why they can get such a longevity out of their careers?
Yeah, you know, that's got to play a part in it. We're talking about guys who just have, you know, I mean, you know, what I say, Charles coming into like his 23rd season, and you know, it's just crazy that, but they, you know, when, especially when you look at the game and you see the big hits, and you know, you watch guys block slap shots, and you know, the other things these guys just do, but yet it's 20 plus years in, and you know, it's like, good Lord. So yeah, I think the way it's set up helps out when you do that. So
yeah,
Yeah, otherwise, yeah, because, if they were playing, 40 minutes a game, I don't think their bodies would hold up as well. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not knocking them at all. I think it's, the system is set up the way it is, and it works. It works for the league, the players, the teams. They're just not making enough money when you compare them. But, you think about it. Sometimes, guys are on the ice and they're being switched off every 2 minutes, 2-4 minutes. So you get that nice little break in between.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Obviously, you sub in and out in basketball as well, but it's nothing like, nothing like hockey. So, but yeah, it's just really, really interesting that they, they hang around and produce and play as well as they do for all those years. But yeah, I'm just like, yeah. So now, have you looked at hockey yet at all to see what you got or what you're thinking or not yet?
Not totally yet. So, but we'll get there. This weekend's a long weekend, so I'll probably start taking a look.
Yeah, we got a full week to get it done. So it's not like, not like we're desperate and the draft is tomorrow or anything like that. So we should be okay. I did look a little. I was surprised to see your guy Ovechkin was only ranked fifth this year. So,
well, I mean, he's only been in the league like 18 years. So.
Yeah, he's another guy who's been up in 20 years of, being in the damn NHL.
Oh, yeah. So. I can't remember. Yeah, you're right. I can't remember exactly what year it was. But, if I can get him, I'll most likely try to land them. But it's just trying to make sure I know who's injured, when they come up, because I don't want to be, I don't want to be that guy that accidentally, bids on one, but I don't know if I'll want to nominate, because I remember I did that a couple of years back with A-Rod and I got stuck with him.
Right.
I think we all learned after that one. Don't be prepared to drop a guy on there to be funny.
I did it last year in baseball with Nick Markakis, who was out to start the season. And I nominated him, and I got stuck with him. And, he did end up playing. He played very little. So.
Yeah. So, at the time, A-Rod didn't actually – with baseball, I think you have enough guys that didn't kill me. He did play like 15 games.
Yeah, with hockey, you got to be a little more careful because you don't have as many roster spots and you don't want to, you can always put the guy on IL as long as they do. You have that option. So. But yeah, I'm happy. Hopefully it goes smoothly and quickly like the basketball draft when we're wrapped up, as long as I don't spend a little more. Cool. I really can't take off now. Being a good extended weekend, we won't see him until Monday, but number two is going to come in here with me tomorrow at 5 o'clock because we won't be here Friday. So if you want to be here tomorrow, you know why we're on. Let's just come over to that time. Get over there and look at the new blog that went up this morning. But let's get to the Facebook page. So go ahead and give that a like while you're over there. It's put it through the course of the past, of course, on the radio. If you want to pick that up, you can also look at the time for the spread of the call. And if you stop by and listen live, thanks for being in that phone number. The podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want, and tune in.
SportsTimeRadio.com.